John Raven, I have a spring.
We're going to study the little book of Philemon together. And if you care to turn to it, you'll find it over toward the end of your Bible, just before the book of Hebrews. Paul wrote this letter to some friends of his who lived at Colossae. Some of the people who were also addressed in another letter of his, the epistle to the Colossians. And these Colossians to whom he was writing this epistle were Philemon and his wife, Apphia, and Archippus, who probably was their son. And then he includes the church meeting in their house. In the first century, you know, Christians met together very informally, many of them in homes. This is still a good idea. Christians ought to get together as often as they can in their own homes to read and study the Word. These Christians have interesting names. All Bible names have meaning, you may have noticed, and you can purchase a little book that will give you the meaning of Bible names. Philemon means a lover, and Apphia means a dear one. Now, there was another character about whom this letter was written who had a very wonderful name also, but he didn't live up to his name. You and I have been given names in God's Word. We're loved of God, but we're also called sinners in the Word of God. We don't like to admit to that name, but that's true of all of us. And then we can have a new name. We can be called saints. We can be called believers. We can be called brothers in Christ. We can be called Christians. Now, Paul wrote this letter about a young man named Onesimus. This is what we read. He says in verse 8, "Wherefore though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, that is, I might tell you what I want you to do, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, I'm asking that you do this, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Paul is already in prison in Rome, and so he asks for his sake as an old man and an old friend, and as one who has led Philemon and his family probably to the Lord. He says, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable." Now, Onesimus means profitable. But he was unprofitable in the past, but is now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. This is an old English word that means, just as I were sending my own heart to you. He loved this young man, whom he had led to Christ, evidently in the prison, perhaps the Mamertine prison in Rome. While Paul was there in prison, this young man, Onesimus, if we may read between the lines, had probably gotten into trouble and was put in jail. It was no happenstance, it was no accident, that he got put in the same cell with this great soul winner, Paul. And Paul led him to Christ. Now I could imagine, and you could too, some of the things that would be said as Paul got acquainted with this young man. He probably would soon hear his story, and this is what he would hear. Onesimus had stolen some money, because a little later on he says, "Whatever he owes you, put that on my account. Whatever he has done to wrong you, you charge that up to me," Paul says in writing to his master. So this young man had perhaps stolen some money, he had wronged his master, he had run away. He was a dishonest, thieving runaway, very unprofitable. Now we know from the preaching of the Apostle Paul and from the letters the Spirit of God led him to write that he plowed deeply. He got right down to the heart of things. He didn't make any bones about it, as we say. He told people exactly what they were. He told them exactly what they might expect. if they died in their sins. He pointed out to them just exactly their condition before God. And I could imagine his telling this young man, Onesimus, "Well, Onesimus, you've sinned against the Lord. You not only are in danger of the Roman law, which, by the way, put runaway slaves to death, but according to the law of Moses, you can seek a refuge, but if you go back to your master, you'll have to face the consequences." And you can imagine this young man very much under conviction, thinking about his sin. But then we know what Paul would tell him. We know what Paul told the Romans. He said to them, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then he went right on to tell them that Christ had died for those sins. That God had proven his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He had pointed out to this young man, Onesimus, that there was a ransom, a payment for sins, a gift of salvation, as well as the forgiveness of sins. He could have eternal life and a home in heaven. All this is pointed out to him, and this young man had trusted Christ. And Paul said, "I have begotten him in my bonds." That is, I have led him to the Lord. He's my son in the faith, and he's gotten saved right here in the jail. Now, that's his history, and this is what has happened to him. Now, Paul writes this letter to Philemon, which has the appearance of a personal letter, and some have wondered, now, why is this included in Scripture? Well, I believe the reason is that the Spirit of God gave this to be for us a wonderful, beautiful picture of salvation. Let me try to point it out to you. When Paul writes to Philemon about this runaway slave, he makes an offer to do two things. Here they are. He says, "Now, I'm sending him back to you, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, and how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." All right, here's his proposition. "If thou count me, therefore, a partner, receive him as myself. If he has wronged thee, or owed thee aught, anything, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it." Now notice this proposition. The Apostle Paul says, "I am going to become surety for this young man. I'm going to guarantee whatever he owes you, I want that charged to me." Let me ask you a question. Could Philemon honestly collect this from Onesimus? No. No. Payments God will not twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. There is no way, and thank God this is true, there is no way for God to collect for my sins from me. For our Lord Jesus paid it all. You know the old song, don't you? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed as white as snow. You believe that? Well, isn't it wonderful to know then that God will never bring you into account for your sinfulness, for our Lord Jesus has taken our place. I will repay it. Now that sets Onesimus free from his debt. That prevents Onesimus from having to suffer for his sins. But that isn't enough. He could go back home with just that much. Paul is taking care of all my debt. But he could still be looked upon as a kind of a scoundrel, and nobody would trust him, and he'd be sent back to the slave quarters. But no, Paul said, "There's another thing I want you to do. Whatever you count me, whatever you think about me, I want you to receive Onesimus, just like you would receive me." But that wouldn't do. Paul was a great apostle. Paul was the man who had led this Philemon to Christ. Why, Paul was a great man. You couldn't receive. Yes, you can. Paul has asked. He has requested of Philemon that he receive Onesimus just as he would receive Paul. Now, how would he receive Paul? Well, down in the 22nd verse, Paul says, "Let all prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Paul was hoping that he would be released from prison and that he would be able to visit Philemon, so he says, "Please get the guest room ready for me." Was he sure of that? Of course. He was as welcome as could be in Philemon's home. Well, then Onesimus is to be welcomed the same way. But he isn't worthy of it. No, and neither am I. But that's the way I'm going to be welcomed in heaven. And that's the way you're going to be welcomed in heaven. If you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God is going to take you right into heaven for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because you've earned it, not because you're good, but because you have a Savior who gives you His place as well as taking your place. Now the results of the gospel in Onesimus' life are wonderful. Onesimus is willing to go back and face his master, and that's wonderful. I'm glad when Christians can go back and straighten up the past. And then he became profitable. He used to be unprofitable. Now he's profitable. If you're a true believer, it's going to make you a profitable person to your employer, to your neighbors, to your family. And then he became a messenger of the Apostle Paul himself, for he carried this letter, which is now a part of our Bible. Isn't it wonderful what the grace of God can do? Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we thank thee for its effects. We thank thee that Christ died for sinners and rose again. We thank thee that he took our place and that he gave us his. Bless thy word to us, we pray, in his precious name. Amen.